my voice out. Speak about a topic that speak about a topic of technology and Shabbos. So, understandably, even though a list of 9 questions was presented, the likelihood that we'll get to actually be able to mevar all those 9 questions is about as likely as anybody reading the fine print on a contract. As it is, you know, the 9 questions all represent different aspects of how this halacha can be affected. But really, there's one central question which we're going to deal with, and we'll just try to explore as far as we can get in the time that we have. Once we understand what the yesodos are, once we understand the basis of this halacha, we'll see if we can move from there to as many of the questions as possible. So, the base question we're going to talk about today is: someone has a website. His website operates on Shabbos. You know, unless you shut it off, your website will operate on Shabbos. You know, it's interesting to note there is actually one website, B&H, which is a tremendous photo store that for many years actually turned off their website on Shabbos, and they occupy a full square block in Manhattan, and it's closed on Shabbos. It's a big Kiddush Hashem. But the question is, do you have to do that or not? Do you have to do that or not? The owner of that particular store is Chassid Shiyid. You know, he said he's doing it L'shem Shemayim. But la halacha, do you have to do that? Do you have to turn off your website? You can't process sales. You can't make sales. Actually, anybody who's familiar with the way Amazon works, Amazon will do not only process your sale for you, but Amazon will do everything. Amazon has a fulfillment center. They can drop ship it for you. So that means you don't have to do anything. You could be singing Menucha V'Simcha by your Shabbos table, and someone will buy, and someone it'll get shipped all in the same day. Your whole business transaction will be completed on Shabbos, and Matzah Shabbos, maybe before Avdallah, maybe after Avdallah, you'll check your website to see how many sales you made that day. So your whole business will be running with that. Is that permitted on Shabbos or not? And another question, which I hope we will get to soon. First, let me get going, and then
the rules of the game.
Yeah. No, you can ask questions. But, let me get hot first. So the other question, which I hope we'll get to, is when regarding eBay on Shabbos. So that maybe even if you don't run a website, but many of you, I'm sure, make use of eBay. So if eBay has an auction which ends on Shabbos, which means that when you make your bid, regardless if you made it on Tuesday or if you made it on Wednesday, whatever day you made your bid, but that bid is going to culminate on Shabbos, right? So the final transaction will happen on Shabbos. The bid will obligate you to buy. That will happen on Shabbos. Is that permitted or is that not permitted? And then there's all the other questions of bill paying on Shabbos and accepting payments on Shabbos. As we'll see, those will all spin off from when we understand the basics of this question. So really, the bottom of the line over here, question that we need to get to, is: are you allowed to have business on Shabbos? Are you allowed to have a business transaction happening on Shabbos? We know Mekach or Memkar is also on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do business on Shabbos. You're not allowed to buy something on Shabbos. You're not allowed to sell something on Shabbos. You're not allowed to pay a loan. You can't get repaid for a loan on Shabbos. All forms of kinyanim, of business transactions, are also on Shabbos. However, does that mean that business can happen on Shabbos? If you're not involved, and business is happening, and someone's doing it on your behalf, can you have business transactions done for you on Shabbos? Is that mutter or is that awesome? So let's start from the beginning, and let's see if we can get to the bottom of this question. So first we'll see, what is the reason why you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos? The first item over here on this page, it's Gemara Maseches Beya, the 5th parak, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. This Mishnah over there in Beya is where it says you're not allowed to do all Mekach HaMemkar on Shabbos, and the Gemara says, why not? Kulu time am I? What's the reason why you're not allowed to do any of these things? And then the Gemara says, Ve'elim shem mitzvah, le mekdishin, le merichin, le mechrimim, you're not allowed to give to hektis anything. The Gemara says, Gzerim shem mekachu memkar, because you're not allowed to do business. Okay, Gzerim shem mekachu memkar. So why can't you do mekachu memkar? Why can't you do business on Shabbos? So Rashi says, 2 reasons. Mishum mekachu memkar, look at Rashi over there, the last Rashi on this snippet. Mishum mekachu memkar. memkar, the lamekach umemkar domu. It's being makdish, giving something to hektish, to tzedakah, is like mekach umemkar. Why? Shemaitim reshus l'reshus hektish. You're taking it out of your ownership and you're giving it to hektish. Umekach umemkar asur min amikra. Mekach umemkar is asur because of a pasik. Now in the Torah, in Yeshaya, Dibri Kabbalah, Diksiv, Mimtzeh Chefzecha V'Dabra Davar. So it's under the prohibition of Mimtzeh Chefzecha. So this is not a deraisa. It's a pasik, but it's a pasik in Yeshaya. It's a pasik in Tanakh. Dibri Kabbalah, but it's a pasik. That's one shot. Second reason Rashi says, Inami Mekach Memkar Asur L'Diksiva Shtar Mechira. The other reason why Mekach Memkar is Asur is because you might come to write a Shtar Mechira. So Chazal, the Rabbanon, they acid it in order you shouldn't come to the deraisa prohibition of writing. That's the two pshat and why you're not allowed to do Mekach Memkar on Shabbos. Okay, so we know why you're not allowed to do Mekach Memkar on Shabbos. Either Mimtzei Chefzecha, a pasik, or because you might come to write. Fine. Now, what happens if the business is happening without your active involvement? Is that okay? Or is that prohibited? Is that fall under the pasik of Mimtzei Chefzecha? Does that fall under the gzeri you might come to write or not? So let's look at a few raya's that this is permitted. First, we'll go to Halacha Shabbos, Shin Simon, Shin Zayin, Siv Dalet. Mutter losses la'en Yehudi Mois. You're allowed to give a guy money. May Erev Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, liknois loy, that he should buy something for you. As long as you don't tell him specifically to buy on Shabbos, because that would be Amir Lakam. You can't tell a guy to do a malacha for you on Shabbos, and you can't tell a guy to do an Isser Rabbanah for you on Shabbos. But you can give him money, and tell him, buy for me, and he'll buy for you on Shabbos, that's fine. The Ramah says, you can give him merchandise to sell. That's also okay. Likewise, you shouldn't tell him to sell it on Shabbos, but then if he sells it on Shabbos, it's okay. So let's think over here. This is your money, and this is your merchandise. So he's your agent, he's buying for you, and he's selling for you, but who is really doing the transaction? You. It's your money. If someone buys something with your money, you're the one who's buying it. No one else is buying it. You're getting the item, he's just giving the money on your behalf, but it's you who is buying, and you are acquiring the chayfet. So here you have a guy who is going to take money and is going to buy merchandise for you on Shabbos, or he'll sell merchandise for you on Shabbos and get money, and in effect you're doing a transaction on Shabbos. You're buying and selling on Shabbos. It's you doing the buying and you're doing the selling. He's your agent, but you're the one doing the buying and selling, and it's permitted. So obviously the show can go on Shabbos. Your business can continue as long as you're not actively involved. As long as you're sitting in your seat and you're singing zmiris and you're eating your Shabbos suda, you have a guy in a way that you're not over Amir La'akum. He can do your business transaction. You're allowed to buy things on Shabbos and you're allowed to sell things on Shabbos. Seems quite clear. Move on to the next halacha, which is another proof. This is a Ramah in the end of Siman Shin Zayin. This is actually the last Ramah in Siman Shin Zayin. Akum Hameviim Tavua B'Shabbos L'Yisrael. A guy that brings... Akum Hameviim Tavua B'Shabbos L'Yisrael. A guy who's bringing wheat on Shabbos to a Yid. Shecha Yavim Lahem. Meaning to say, you already have a previous deal with this guy. And you have already made the order. And he needs to deliver in order to pay up the money that he's gotten already. You know, you give him the money, now he has to pay up. So this is sort of either, well, it's a mechira, or it's a prius chayv, or he's paying up a debt. So either he's paying a debt, or he's selling. So he's bringing wheat to you on Shabbos. V'hayisrael noisim le'mavtecha. You give him the keys, lo'itzar it to your warehouse. V'akim noisim l'sham. The akim delivers it. Umoydidim, they measure it. Umoydim, and they count it. Yesh mishamatir, there are matirim. Mishum the akim b'malach. The guy is doing his part of the business. The and it doesn't belong to the yid until after it's measured. The and he makes a cheshbon with him. So therefore, the mechira takes place on Shabbos. The malachas that the guy is doing, which is measuring and carrying and depositing, that's all done while it still belongs to the guy. So he's, so to speak, doing that for himself. But the actual transaction is fine. You can give him the keys, and the transaction can be culminated on Shabbos. You can accept payment for a loan, or you can finish culminate a business deal on Shabbos. Nirmas says that's mutter. Raya number two. Right? So number one, we see you can have an agent buy and sell merchandise for you. Number two, we see you can accept payment on a loan on Shabbos. Number three, the next case here. Halachah Shabbos Siman Reish Mem Dalet, the last item over here on the sheet. It says over here, Sivvav. This is an interesting case. This case has actually many halachic ramifications, whether in what we're going to speak about Be'ez Hashem next week, you know, when you could have a guy work for you, what sort of work he can do for you when he's employed by you. It has many ramifications. It's a very important central halacha. But this is the case. Yehudi akoyne meches. This was a very common form of business. Yidden weren't allowed that many business, but the money businesses were generally open to them. So they would buy the right to collect taxes. Very similar to what we have today. People buy liens from the government. They buy the right to collect the tax lien. You buy the right to collect the taxes that people owe, whether it's on a bridge in this case, or whether it was, you know, a real estate tax. This situation was talking about the taxes on a bridge, the right to cross a bridge. You bought the rights to the income of the bridge. So Yehuda kind of mechas. He bought the rights to the income of the bridge. Now the problem is, how are you going to get the people to pay when they cross the bridge on Shabbos? There was no easy pass and there were no toll booths. You had to have a guy sit there and block entrance until you paid your dues. So how are you going to do that? Umaskele and Yehudi, he rents, he hires a guy, lekabel meches v'Shabbos, to collect the rent, or in other words, to collect the dues on Shabbos. Mutter, it's permitted. Emu b'kibaylas, as long as it's done b'kibaylas, which means, this is not really our topic, but you're not allowed to have a salaried worker work for you on Shabbos under any circumstance. You can't have someone that you pay per hour, $9 an hour, $11 an hour. You can't have that on Shabbos, no matter what. The only way you could ever have a guy work for you on Shabbos is only if he's paid per job. Like similar the way a plumber is paid, right? A plumber, he gets paid for the fix. A mechanic gets paid for the fix that he does, the job he accomplishes. Here also, it's a service. He's not providing an item. He's not providing a merchandise, but it's a service that he's providing. So it has to be paid by the bulk of the service, not by time. And the Mechaber explains how you do that. You say is, kishatigva mei dinarin et ten lecha kach v'kach. As soon as you collect 100 dinarim, then you get a set fee. You get a set fee per 100 dinarim. So then that's called a kablanis. He's not working by hour. He's not a schir yoim. He's a kablan, and then it's permitted to have him collect the taxes from the bridge for you. So here we have another example, right? You have your bridge, it's operating on Shabbos. You're getting money that's being collected for you, right? The guy, he's not keeping the money. The money is going straight, you hope, into your bank account. Actually, the end of the halacha speaks about whether you're allowed to sit there and watch, make sure he doesn't pocket any of the money. But, you know, that's a different question. That's also a question on Shabbos. But in any case, the transaction is continuing on Shabbos. So it seems quite clear that this is permitted. Say, so now we already have three cases where transactions are allowed to continue on Shabbos. You can buy, you can sell, you can collect a loan, and you can collect rent. Or you know, usage, you can charge and have the money collected for you on Shabbos. So all indications seem to be that this is something which is permitted. You can have your business run on Shabbos. So if we won't turn over the page, we will remain that an Amazon website is absolutely no problem. Now, so it's not a guy running per se, even though perhaps it is, but either it's a guy running it or it's automated. Well, one of those, right? But it should be permitted. That's what one would think.
Automated, isn't that better?
Automated could even be better, perhaps. True, right?
Even less than automated.
Right, lochar. Now, whenever we want to ponder a halacha shaila such as this, in question of, you know, new technology, so definitely the first thing we try to do is look for a precedent. Try to find any sort of precedent in history where Paiskim spoke about anything remotely similar to this type of setup. So what would come to mind? Something that wasn't invented in 1980. What predates all that that has a very similar type of setup? Anybody? Quick guess.
The fairs. Annual fair.
Okay. Anything else? A vending machine. Vending machine, right? No electronics necessary. It's mechanical. It's been around since the 1800s. End of the 1800s, beginning of the 19s. And that's something that's been around for a while, right? So that's something that most certainly every Jew would jump in on such an opportunity, you know, have something make money for you. You just pay a little money in rent and you can put out a machine that will bring in constant income. So there must be Svarim that spoke about it. So indeed there are. And they discussed this question of whether you can have a vending machine that dispenses tzikerlach and chocolate. They're dispensing, you know, candies and the chocolate on Shabbos. Is that mutter or is that aser? And l'chaira, it would seem that that should be the best analogy to what a website that's automated is today. And if whatever we're going to figure out by vending machine, we'll do by Amazon, one would imagine. Now, the problem is like this, and this is what we would call the monkey wrench in the gears over here. The problem is there's a tshuva Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It's not on the paper. Okay, his tshuva is in Ksavim Simin Kuf Nun Tes. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a very interesting question. He doesn't really say what caused the question, but he has a question about this halacha that you're not allowed to do a transaction on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a kinyan on Shabbos. You're not allowed to buy something on Shabbos. And his question is as follows. Question number one is, can you do a kinyan Erev Shabbos, which is slated to be chal on Shabbos, which means you meet the guy on Erev Shabbos, and you work out the details of your deal, you're buying this particular piece of land, or you're starting to, you're going to start renting a particular place, or you're buying merchandise, and the deal is valid from this date, which happens to be Shabbos. Very, very typically by rentals, it's the first of the month, right? Or when you're making a big sale, it's when something or another happens. Can you do such a transaction where you set up all the details of the transaction Erev Shabbos, you make the Maisa Kinyan Erev Shabbos, you write the Shtar Erev Shabbos, but it doesn't actually take effect until Shabbos? Is that Mutar? Question number one. Question number two, Rabbi Kager asks, which is, this is even more interesting, is like this. Let's say you've made a Mekach, you've made a deal that has a contingency, has a Tanai, that it's only valid if a certain thing is done. Right? Only if a lawyer signs on this, only if the government passes this law, that's the only time that this transaction is valid, otherwise it's null and void. Now, if that kiyama tanai, that contingency, is something which you yourself can do, right? You can sign, you can do whatever it is that necessary to make that this mekach is valid, to make this transaction happen, to make the deal go through. If you can do that, are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? That's Rabbi Kvega's question. So here, you've done everything Erev Shabbos. You made the mekach, you made the deal, you made the shtar, you made the kinyan. Yachalos will be chal amafreya, it'll happen from, so to speak, retroactively on Erev Shabbos, but it's contingent on something, and whatever it is contingent on, you did that on Shabbos. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos or not? Those are two questions of Rav Kveger. Number one, can you make a Kenyan Erev Shabbos with the date that it becomes valid on Shabbos? And number two, even if the whole thing was finished Erev Shabbos, but there is a contingency, there's a Tanai, are you allowed to be Mekayim the Tanai on Shabbos, thus making the Kenyan happen retroactively Erev Shabbos? Those are Rav Kveger's two questions. Now, what's interesting about this Shuvah of Rav Kveger is that initially he brings a Raya from a Trumas Hadeshen. And his Raya from the Trumas Hadeshen is that it's permitted. What's this Trumas Hadeshen? This is the Halacha of Pidyon HaBen. This is of this on the next, the other side, Siman Shin Lamed Tes. This Halacha, you're not allowed to do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. Now do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. So if the 30th day falls out on Shabbos, you can't do Pidyon HaBen then. So when do you do the Pidyon HaBen? So you can't do it before 30 days. L'chaira, so do it on Sunday. It's a day late, but what could you do? You couldn't do it on Shabbos, so you do it Matzah Shabbos. You do it as soon as you can. Question is, okay, I have an idea. Let's make the Kenyan Erev Shabbos, do the Pidyon Erev Shabbos, al menas, that it should be chal on Shabbos. Brilliant idea. This way, everybody's happy. You do the mitzvah bisman, you do the transaction Erev Shabbos, and the Kenyan will be chal on Shabbos, and that should be an etzah how to get around this problem. Actually, I remember a story that someone, you know, made a Pidyon HaBen, and it was Friday, and he invited everybody, and everybody came down to the Suda, and Rav Pam was the Kayin, and Rav Pam asked him, when was the baby born? And Rav Pam starts counting, day number 29. He made a mistake, the guy counted wrong, it was day number 29. I don't know if it was Friday or whatever it was. In any case, everybody was there. The suda was prepared, the Kayin was ready, he was saying, you know, you want my child, you want the thing, and it was the wrong day. So Rav Pam said, let's do this quietly, and we'll make the kinyan for tomorrow. We'll do the suda, everything, we'll make the kinyan to hayoim, that it should be chal l'macher, and then we'll do everything. Now we'll see, that's not so poshut. But this was where Rav Pam's eitzah was for that sticky situation. So here the shaila is, every Shabbos, every yontiv, why don't we do the same thing? So look at the Magad Avraham over here, Sifkat in Ches. He quotes, he's quoting a Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen says, so it starts off with Philip Bakli, the Domel Mechamemker, fine. Now he says, Ve'ein Loimar, this is what Aleph Lamed stands for. Ve'ein Loimar, Yitin Hamoyes Lekoyim Be'Arab Shabbos. Give the money to the Koyin, Arab Shabbos. Mikal Makoyim, you can't do that. You know why? Ech Yasim Abrachis. You can't make a bracha then. You can only make the bracha when it's Chal, Hasuda. How are you gonna make a Suda? Yasin Be'Arab Shabbos. Adayin Lechal of a Mitzvah. It's not the Zman of the Mitzvah yet. How could you say v'tzivanu? U'b'Shabbos? So maybe do like this. Do the Ma'aseh Kinyan Erev Shabbos. It'll be chal on Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, you know, at some point in the middle of the day, after davening, you'll say, Baruch Atah Hashem, you know, and it'll be chal then. He says, no, b'Shabbos nami, loy. The hashtalav midikavad. This is a klal on Hilchos Brachos. You can't make a bracha if you're not doing anything. You have to be doing something to make a bracha. Like we find, like a shliach is always the one that makes a bracha, right? If you are mamana shliach, you send someone to do bedikas chametz for you. You don't make the bracha in your house, wherever it is. The person doing the bedika makes the bracha. A bracha has to be on a maisa. A bracha always has to be attached to a maisa. So you can't do the pidyon erev Shabbos, and it's going to happen by itself on Shabbos because you can't make the bracha on that erev Shabbos, and you can't make the bracha on Shabbos. That's why it's not a good etz. Zokter b'kveger. That's the only problem he has. Transaction on Shabbos that he has no problem with. The fact that you're making the transaction of a pidyon haben on Shabbos by starting at Erev Shabbos and having it be chal on Shabbos, that's the true suggestion that he's fine with. His whole problem is the brachas and the suda. So you see, it's okay, it's mutter to make a transaction Erev Shabbos which will then be chal on Shabbos. This is his proof. Okay. Well, all mechachamempir is
Rabbanan. I know. So, and you have a din deraisa, a mitzvah deraisa to do a pidyon haben, you're not
going to
do it?
No. That is actually the halacha l'maaseh, right? That's the din. We don't do it taka. We don't do it erev Shabbos. We don't do it on Shabbos for that reason, because it's a drabana, right? They're drabana, and this is they kept their din even in front of a deraisa like they always do, right? So you know, you don't take a lulav on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar on Shabbos. These are all din of drabana, right? The drabana could stand up in front of a deraisa too. So this is his proof that it's permitted. Then he goes into a long arichis to bring a very convoluted raya from the halacha of a kohen gadol erev Yom Kippur that he has to make a tanai in case one wife dies, he should have another wife, and he has a question on a taisus, why doesn't he do it like this with the kinyan erev Shabbos, b'chal on Shabbos, a very complicated raya. We're after he's finished with his whole raya, it's like two or three pages, he comes out, it's aser, and that's his maskana, that it's aser. Both cases are aser, and he just doesn't get back to the Shum Sedeshin and a Magan Avram, which is very strange. Doesn't get back to it at all. He just says, it's aser to make a Kenyan Erev Shabbos, which is going to be Chal on Shabbos, and it's aser to do a Kiyam HaTanai, to fulfill a Tanai on Shabbos, if that will cause the Kenyan to be Chal Erev Shabbos. This is where we take is Paskins Halacha L'maaseh. So we have to figure out a few things over here, right? First of all, I set you all up over here already that we had a number of Maror Mekayimus where you're allowed to have transactions happen on Shabbos. You could have a guy, your agent, selling things for you on Shabbos, buying things for you on Shabbos, collecting chayvus on Shabbos. You could have your business run on Shabbos. All of a sudden, you made the Kenyan Erev Shabbos, it happens by itself on Shabbos, that's a problem. Why is that worse? What's the problem? You could have, a Kenyan's allowed to be chal on Shabbos. There's no problem in so far as just the chalois is happening on Shabbos. You can't be involved. You have to sit by your Shabbos suda and sing mirrors. You can't be doing business on Shabbos. But if you're not doing anything, we see it's mutter. A guy could buy and sell, even though it's you're getting the item, you're selling the item, it's going into your possession, into your bank account. I'm sorry?
It's also on there an oifen of Amir Lakim.
You can't be over Amir Lakim, true. But as long as you have not had any problem Amir Lakim, even though transactions are happening, you're doing a transaction that's permitted.
Setting in motion with a tanai is no worse than Amir Lakim.
It's not an Amir Lakim. No. You did everything Erev Shabbos. It's much better. It's much better. You didn't do anything. You didn't tell a guy to do anything. And you're not doing anything on Shabbos. Everything you did. You did an Erev Shabbos.
No, you did it yourself.
You did an Erev Shabbos.
Lakim is also Erev Shabbos.
And well, even well, that well, is the guy is doing something Lakim for you on Shabbos. Right?
That, Lakim cases
well,
on Monday.
You didn't have to do it. You did it.
Again, if you do something Erev Shabbos, right? So all that's happening is on Shabbos is the culmination, the chalos, right? But understand? No. I want to make this point clear.
What you did on Erev Shabbos is now happening on
So what is happening on Shabbos?
The Chalos Kinyan.
The Chalos Kinyan, right. Now, when you get a guy to sell an item for you, right? So what is happening on Shabbos?
The Chalos Kinyan.
Is it mutter?
The guy did it.
What did the guy do?
The guy did the Kinyan.
He didn't do the Kinyan. Who's doing the Kinyan? Only one person's doing the Chalos Kinyan. Only you could do the Chalos Kinyan. Yeah, but a guy can't make a Chalos Kinyan. It's your money. He can't make a Chalos Kinyan with your money. You do the Chalos Kinyan. You always do the Chalos Kinyan. It's your merchandise. He can't sell your merchandise. It's not his. Right? He's your agent.
But he did the Maaseh.
He did the ma'isa. Oh, very good. He did the ma'isa. Here, you did the ma'isa, Erev Shabbos, right? So the only thing that happens on Shabbos is the chalais. The chalais is wanted to happen on Shabbos. That's fine, right? So that's one thing we have to understand about Rabbi Kveger. Another thing we have to understand about this Rabbi Kveger is, you know, how he's going to deal with this raya from the Trumas Hadash. We'll have to understand that too. But there's another problem which a lot of Achrayim have a problem with, this Reb Kveger. This is the Marashag and the Hartzvi and the Mamshik and a number of Achrayim, they all have this problem with Reb Kveger. And the problem is like this. The halacha is, you are allowed to do a Malacha Erev Shabbos which ends on Shabbos, right? You can turn on your lights, they run on Shabbos. You can turn something on, a Shabbos clock, Mikra Din, right? The Gemara talks about you can open up your sprinkler, Erev Shabbos, and it can run on Shabbos. You're allowed to do any Malacha Erev Shabbos. You could put your wheat into the grinding mill and it gets ground on Shabbos. The Gemara gives many Mashalim of where you can start a Malacha Erev Shabbos as long as you did whatever Pa'ula, whatever Maisa you need to do. You did it Erev Shabbos, happens by itself on Shabbos, it's permitted. How could Mekach or Memkar be worse than a Malacha Deraisa? Malacha Deraisa, you do it Erev Shabbos, it happens the rest by itself, is permitted. Mekach or Memkar, he's saying it's Asa. How could that be Asa? This is what many Achrayim have a very big problem with Kagan, and a number of them say you can't pass the like of Kagan because of that. However, the overwhelming number of Achrayim do say we do pass the Kagan. And Avnei Nezer, from the first ones, it's in Archaim Simon and Aleph, he explains Rabbi Kagan as thus. He says like this. And it's very important to understand what is the underlying, svara, what's the underlying thought here that Rabbi Kveger says that this is a problem. And he says like this. He says, the difference is that when you set your mill in motion, when you turn on your sprinkler, right, when you turn on your lights, your Shabbos clock, the person can die. And it's going to still happen. We do not need any more input from the person. He doesn't have to be alive. We don't need his das. We don't need his to be involved. He doesn't have to overlook it. It'll happen now by itself. You've done it. You're gone. It's over. And now it happens totally by itself. Kinyanim, that's not the way it works. Kinyanim, if you don't continue to want it, if you don't remain alive, the kinyan will not happen. So yes, you did the Maisa Kinyan Erev Shabbos, but the Chalais is only being Chal because you want it to be Chal, because you have Das for it to be Chal, because you being alive makes it possible for it to continue to be Chal. So that's why the Avnei Nezer says you can't compare this to the fact that all other Malachas happen Erev Shabbos. This is very different. So what we see here is a very important point. The point we see here is like this. What Rav Kveger is saying is not per se that you can't have a chalais happen on Shabbos. That's not really the problem here. The problem is that you can't do a chalais on Shabbos. In other words, when you did something Erev Shabbos, you're continuing to do that on Shabbos. It's happening as a result of your continued input. That's why it actually happens. That's why it culminates. That's why it ends up happening and being chal on Shabbos, because you have your continued input and your das and your chiyas. So when you go Erev Shabbos and do your Maisa Kinyan, that it should be chal on Shabbos, you're still there doing that Kinyan on Shabbos. That's why Rabbi Kveger is answering it. He doesn't say that merely having a transaction on Shabbos is also. No, it's not. It's permitted. That's not what he's saying. He's saying is that if you do a Maisa Kinyan Erev Shabbos and you create it in a way that it'll continue into Shabbos, you're still working. You're still doing something. And that's why it's also. That's what the Avnei Nezer clarifies about the Shem Kveger. And as a result of this clarification, really, all the questions I ask from all those Marim Mekaymis are not Shver. Why? Because the only reason why Rabbi Kveger has a problem over here, the only reason why he has a problem is because your Maisa is what's causing to happen what's happening here. As long as it's not your Maisa, now it's true, you do need your Das, you have to agree that the Kinyan should happen, you have to be alive, that is true. But you're not the one who's doing, you're not the one who's making it happen. If you have a Gaisha agent, so whatever Maisa is necessary for it to happen is not being done by you, and it's either happening by itself, or it's happening through a guy, Rabbi Kveger has no problem with that. The only time Rabbi Kveger has a problem, one second. Let me just finish this thought. The only time Rabbi Kveger has a problem is where you did the Maisa, and your Maisa continues to Shabbos. Right? That we say, no, it's not happening by itself. Your Maisa that you did Erev Shabbos is still floating and giving life to this Kinyan on Shabbos. As long as you are not the one that did the Maisa, right? The Maisa is happening through a guy. The actual Maisa Kinyan, the thing which actually perpetuates the Kinyan, is not being done through you, through an agent, or by itself. Then there's no problem. Rav Kveger has no problem. Rav Kveger, the only problem is, even though the Chalais is happening on Shabbos, the problem is because you did the Maisa, and your Maisa is making it happen now on Shabbos too. That's why it's a problem. The chalais for as in itself, he has no problem with, as long as someone else does the maisa. So that's why all the cases I gave you were cases where he had a geisha agent. He's buying for you, he's selling for you, he's paying up a chayiv. He is the one who's doing. You're not doing, no problem. Reb Kveger won't have a problem. Where does Reb Kveger's problem begin? When you're the one doing, right? Okay. Now, Now let's try to think of this in light of Amazon. So Amazon, or actually, let's take a step back. Let's think about a vending machine, right? Let's go back to in history. So what happens over here in a vending machine? You put your items in a vending machine, and whoever comes and puts in his quarter will buy that particular item. So how do we look at this? Did you do a Maisa Kinyan here, or did you not do a Maisa Kinyan over here? You put it out. You made it available for sale. You did not do a Maisa Kinyan. You can't do a Maisa Kinyan with someone who doesn't exist. Right, the person could be born tomorrow and then come and put in his dollar and he'll get it. Right, so there's no, you did zilch by putting it there. No Maisa Kinyan was done. You have just made it available to the public, and when they come, they do the Maisa Kinyan, they take it, and it happens. The transaction happens, and you agree to it to happen. A chalais happens, but as we said before, a chalais can happen. There's no problem with a chalais happening on Shabbos, as long as you didn't do anything to make that chalais happen. So when you put the things there on Shabbos, you didn't do a ma'aseh kinyan. That's not a ma'aseh kinyan. You made it available for sale. You didn't make a deal with anybody, right? And no one can hold you to it. You could change your mind, right? You could take everything out on Shabbos. You can put a red tape across the machine. So you did absolutely nothing. Not that's binding. Not with anybody who's alive. Not with anybody who's around. So there's no ma'aseh kinyan from your end, right? You just made a situation where people can come and take advantage, a very unique situation, which was started with vending machines. But that's all it is. So as long as you didn't do a Maisa Kinyan, you're fine. Rav Kreg will not have a problem. Interestingly, the Marshag, when he addresses vending machines, the Marshag was a Hungarian gadol. He was a Talmud, I believe, of the Maram Shik. Maram Shik was a grand Talmud of the Chasam Sofer. And he was one of the Gedolei Hador in Hungary. So, and he deals with many, many contemporary issues. This is one of them. So when he speaks of vending machines and he brings in Rabbi Kiviger, so he has a different angle on it, but I think this is really what he means. He says, it's not a problem with Rabbi Kiviger because you didn't specify Shabbos. In other words, you didn't make a Maisa Kinyan that should be Chal on Shabbos. It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever someone comes. So it has nothing to do with Rabbi Kiviger. That's the way he puts it. I think this is really what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say is that you didn't do a Maisa Kinyan, period. You made it available, and it can happen anytime, and it's not up to you. So nothing that you do makes it happen on Shabbos. It's something that other people do that make it happen on Shabbos. So your Maisa doesn't contribute anything for it to happen on Shabbos. It's other people that make it happen on Shabbos. It's not your Maisa, then there's no problem. The Chalais could happen by itself. That's what the Marshag says. That's why this understanding with the way, the twist that the Avner Nirzer puts on it, and the Marshag goes with that too, we understand that Rabbi Kreger L'chair won't be applicable to a vending machine, and likewise, Amazon should be the same thing. Amazon is automated, is completely automated, it happens by itself. So as far as the transaction is concerned, it won't be a problem. Now, as far as fulfillment center is concerned, that they ship it for you, that is really next week's topic. You know, whether you can have a guy working for you, but that's not for now. But as far as the transaction is concerned, that won't be a problem, right? Now, there is some Paiskim, Rabbi Belsky, one of them. He also knows Amazon is different. He says, Amazon is not automated. Amazon is you. You set up the website, you operate it, it only happens as long as you want it, you shut down the website, you don't want it. He somehow understands, it's your bank account, it's your credit card charging, it's not like a vending machine. I don't profess to understand exactly his point, but just in all honesty, I'm telling you there are some Paiskim that hold that it's a problem. However, the overwhelming majority of Paiskim do not hold it's a problem, the ones that have dealt with it, and Rashad Miller holds it's not a problem, and pretty much it's accepted to let your website run on Shabbos. Now, just an interesting thing is that there are Paiskim that have other problems with it. There's Rav Ozner has a tshuva, and it's interesting, there's a tshuva from the Rabbi Rashi in Eretz Yisrael. He has a tshuva about it. They have Ashkafa problems with it. And, you know, rightfully so, you know, if you know anybody who's in this line of business and has a website, you know, I heard a Rav say recently, you know, there's a Shaila, Matzah Chanukah, would you do Chanukah Licht first? Do you do Havdalah first? If you have an Amazon website, there's a whole different order. You start with, you know, where is the Amazon website? Checking your website, you know, how many sales you made, where does that fit in the order of things? It's on your mind. There's nothing to talk about it. It's on your mind, especially if it's busy season. You're busy with it. Right after Shabbos, you're seeing the 2 minutes till before Shabbos, you're adjusting, making shipments, making sure the shipments happen. You're busy with it through Shabbos. So they have a real hashkafa issue with it that is just not a mahalach. That's not, Chazal would have never let this. But again, al pi halacha, we see there are many halachic transactions that you can allow happen on Shabbos. I guess like we just saw before, you could have a guy run sell for you, buy for you on Shabbos. There's other cases which I didn't even mention. You can have a guy run your merchitz, your bathhouse for you on Shabbos. You could have a guy run your bakery for you on Shabbos. you can have business running on Shabbos. It's something Chazal allowed. So this, they have a problem with, because Taka, like all technology today, has just overwhelmed us and overwhelmed our brains and everything. And, you know, it doesn't leave us time to think. And whatever's left of Shabbos that we power off, you know, you're also thinking about it. So they have Ashkafa problem with it. Again, but again, you know, Parnasa is Parnasa. And Vos Titman Ishvagel, you know, you have no other choice. That's your business. Good. So you can speak to a rav, but halacha lemaisa, in strict halacha, is something which is mut. Now, when it comes to making a bid on eBay, so here this is an interesting thing. You place a bid on Tuesday. The auction culminates on Shabbos. What exactly happened when you placed that bid? Right, what is the status, halachic status, legal status of that bid? So what it is, it's an arbitrary binding that when you make a bid, right, so you are binding yourself that you have to make the purchase. And they can hold you to it, right? They can legally hold you to it when you make the bid. So in halacha, what we would describe, this is a hischaibus. So schaivus, a shibud. A person could do that. You can make a kinyan to obligate yourself to do something. You can obligate yourself to clean. You can obligate yourself to work. You can obligate yourself to deliver something. You can obligate yourself any number of things. Pay ksuba. All these things are obligations that are made through a kinyan. Shibudim. This is no less. When you make a bid on an item, what you're saying is that I'm obligating myself to buy. Oh, thing is, you made your bid on Tuesday. You can be outbid. So what status exactly does your bid have right now? So there's two ways you could look at this. You could look at it that what it is like this. I'm making the bid on Tuesday, and the bid only becomes, like sort of the deal is only culminated on Shabbos, provided I'm not outbid. Right? So then, really, you're sort of doing a Kvegas type of kinyan. You're making the Maisa kinyan, you're signing the contract, you're clicking buy on bid, whatever, on Tuesday, and it will obligate you, provided you're not outbid on Shabbos. So then you're doing the Maisa kinyan during the week, and it's chal on Shabbos. Not going to be allowed if you're a bikveg. Or you can say no. When you make a bid, it's final. You're obligated. The obligation is final. You have to buy it immediately. However, you don't have to buy it yet because they have a tenai. They have a clause that if you are outbid, then your bid becomes null and void. So they retain for themselves the right to knock off your bid. You can't pull out your bid. Once you bid, you're bound. You're legally bound to buy the item. But they have retained for themselves the right to knock out your bid, provided someone else bids higher than you. If that's the case, then everything has been already finished on Tuesday, and now it's just a question of a beer of a tonight that happens by itself. You know, whether someone bids or not, then it will be permitted. Right, so there's two ways you can look at how. I'm sorry. Which way?
I don't remember what it is, but my understanding is that it's their maximum amount of money willing to pay.
Okay.
So it's not like that your bid, but
your bid could go even more. You mean?
More.
True.
It can change the channels.
Okay.
Or it could be less.
Fine.
It could be less.
But all that was already agreed on. Nothing's really changing. And your agreement and your kinyan, your shibud, was all done already. And the amount of money will be seen. You know, it remains to be seen. That's what it is. I've spoken to people that do this for a living, and it's really not clear. It's not good. Now, Rosh Hashanah Miller holds that it's mutter.
Let me just. Did you just ask what happens if the guy Chas Shalom dies?
Is it still legally binding? I don't know. Good question. I don't know. I don't know. I understand legally. I don't know which way it would work. You know, I can't. I don't. Good question.
But that's how you connect it.
Maybe, perhaps.
Or not.
Perhaps you're right. It's not in the fine print in any case, what happens if you die, so I don't know. So as it stands right now, we don't really know the answer to that question. So, well, what Rav Shlomo Miller has assumed, he assumed that everything is finished when you make the bid. It's just a question of being mevarer, a tnai, and it's mutter. However, I want to now present that even if we look at it differently, even if that you're doing the bid now, and it's going to be chal, your shibud, your schaivis is going to be chal on Shabbos, it's still mutter. Why is that? This brings us to this other aspect of Rukveg. We had this question. The Rukveg had a very beautiful raya from a Trumas Hadeshin that you're allowed to do Pidyon Aben Erev Shabbos to be Chal on Shabbos, no problem of transaction, and then he seemingly forgets about it. So Rav Moshe was very bothered by this. This is in Igris Moshe, Chel Gimel, or Chaim Chel Gimel, Simin Mem Dalet. And he asked this question of Rabbi Kagan. And the end of it, he passes like Rabbi Kagan, by the way. And he's like this. He says, the reason why Rabbi Kagan felt this is not a rai, even though Rabbi Kagan didn't explain this, he says, because this transaction of Pidyon HaBen, a very different type of transaction. It's not a transaction. You're buying the baby, you're selling the baby, no one's buying and no one's selling. The baby stays yours no matter what. Even though you tell the Kayan, my boy is Tvei, you know, you learn Maseches Kiddushin, you'll see there's no Kinyan going on over here. Nothing's being sold. So really, he says, Pidyon HaBen shouldn't be Asr at all. Why then is it Asr? So a shach, he brings down and says, it's doim lemekhamemkar. It's not a real transaction, it's doim lemekhamemkar. And he brings down a ribash. What the Goyim brings down is that it's like a Prius Choyv. You're paying up a Choyv on Shabbos. Then he says, it's not really like a Prius Choyv either, because the Prius Choyv, he says, the halacha is, you're allowed to pay up a Choyv on Shabbos, as long as you don't use the word Choyv. That's the halacha here. I don't have time now. In Siman Shin Zayin, Sif Yud Aleph. The halacha is, as long as you change the wording, you can lend something on Shabbos, you can get paid back. Call it a she'ela. Instead of calling it a hava, it's mutter. Which means, in essence, that halais is mutter. You can have, you could be lent something on Shabbos, and you can pay back on Shabbos, as long as you just call it the right thing. It's a question of semantics. So therefore, he says, Pidyon HaBen should really be mutter too, because it's not called a hava. So he says this shot, that shot, why it is Asr, but basically what he says is, as long as you're not doing anything on Shabbos, you're not actually talking on Shabbos, you're not actually doing the Pidyon on Shabbos, it's Pashut, it'll be Mutter. The whole problem to begin with, being that it's not a real transaction, is only a problem if you're actually talking on Shabbos, you're actually doing it on Shabbos. If you did it Erev Shabbos, then whatever problem there could be, you did it Erev Shabbos, it's fine. So based on that reasoning, now again, I wouldn't make this too by myself, there's a good, nice riot to this, which I'll get to. I want to present that the concept of being mechayiv yourself, making a shibud, even though you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos, it's not because the chalois itself, it's not because the actual transaction of being mechayiv yourself is mekach memker, it's not. There's no transaction. There's no buying. There's no selling. It's not a transaction which is also on Shabbos. It's the talking about it. It's the doing it that's also similar to Pidyon HaBen. You do it Erev Shabbos, no problem. And the proof to this, Bekitzer, you can argue this, you know, we'll get into it, but the proof to this would be that Halacha is very familiar, probably. Maybe it annoys you, but something you should be mechazik yourself in. People come around on Shabbos and make an appeal, and then they go around the shul and they say, Chaim is donating $100, Yankel is donating $200. Now the halacha is, if you say I'm donating $200, you are legally obligated to pay. Halacha, if you are mechazik yourself tzedakah on Shabbos, you have to pay. Now, are you allowed to give something tzedakah on Shabbos? No, it's awesome. If you want to donate a sefer Torah, make sure it's donated Erev Shabbos. You can't donate it on Shabbos. You want to donate a sefer to shul, don't bring it on Shabbos. Shabbos is Asr. Even though it's a mitzvah, you're now allowed to donate it on Shabbos. So how could you be mechayiv yourself on Shabbos? How could you be mechayiv yourself on Shabbos? You're not allowed to be mechayiv yourself on Shabbos. Not only that, it says you can't be mechayiv yourself. They used to have a minig when a chassan gave a drasha. People used to pledge their presence. So Magen Avraham says, yeah, I'll do that on Shabbos. It says people do it because you can change your mind anyway. So that's how you can do it. So because it's not really binding. But if it's binding, it's Asr. So why are you allowed to do it by tzedakah? So I heard this answer from Rabbi Kushner, a good friend of mine, Moishe's, learned in Riverdale. He wrote a book, a Sefer, on Hilchos Shabbos, Commerce and Shabbos. And he wanted to say like this. He wanted to say this concept, that actual being mechayiv yourself is not a problem on Shabbos. It's not really mekach memker. The problem is talking about it. The problem is doing it. It's being involved with it. If that's the whole problem, so then by a mitzvah, you're allowed to talk about mitzvahs on Shabbos. Chetze shemayim ramoter. You're not allowed to actually give something to tzedakah because that's a transaction. It's going out of your possession and going into tzedakah. Transaction you can't do on Shabbos. If all you're doing is a hischaivis, you're just obligating yourself, that in itself is not the problem. Talking about it is the problem. Okay, so you can talk about that. You're allowed to talk about it on Shabbos. Mitzvahs you can talk about on Shabbos. Back to our point. So if this is true, that obligating yourself doesn't constitute a transaction which is also on Shabbos, you just can't talk about it on Shabbos, so if you did it Erev Shabbos, no problem. So then you would be able to, according to this line of thinking, of reasoning, you would be able to place your bid Erev Shabbos, even if the actual obligation only happens with the culmination of the auction on Shabbos, because whatever you talked, whatever you did Erev Shabbos before Shabbos, and it's just the transaction itself, the hischaivis which is happening on Shabbos, is chayvis, is something which is mutter to happen on Shabbos, similar to Pidyon HaBen. So we have successfully, hopefully, I hope I was clear, We've gotten through why you can have an Amazon site running on Shabbos, why you can make a bid on eBay, and with the information I've given you, I hope you can start seeing whether you're allowed to have an automatic bill pay on Shabbos, whether you could have rental, automatic rental collecting on Shabbos. You can already understand how each one of the other shilas will play into one of these two questions, just about. Not everything. Maybe you shouldn't try this at home, but you know, but pretty much you have the, you know, the sedus over here, which are necessary to be mevarah these shilas. Okay.